You've got Off to the Races. I am your host, Mike Bozich, here on by 96.7 FM WDLR AM 1270. Great show coming up for you this morning. First of all, I have to apologize for one thing. My voice is certainly not 100%. Brutal cold over the last couple of days. Just now getting my voice back. And listen, when you depend on your voice to make a living, that can be really, really tough. As trying, of course, my day job, now to the races here on the East Coast at Harris Philadelphia's. Listen, when you got to announce 14, 15 races and your voice isn't up to snuff, that could make things very, very challenging. But we made it, and certainly appreciate all the Halls cough drops that my fiance bought me, all the cough syrup, the NyQuil putting me to bed at night, the DayQuil keeping me going during the day. Yes. Do you want to say that this program is brought to you by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association? Bred in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got caring down to a science, Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet, and drive-through feed store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. A great show coming up for you today. One of my favorite interviews in all of harness racing, trainer Brian Brown joins us for a two-part interview. Boy, do we get into some great topics. We talk about his 2000th win last week at Hollywood Dayton. We talk about Brian Brown early in his career, how they made the transition from a small to a big stable right here in Delaware, Ohio. We talk about the 2015 Little Brown Jug, the heartbreak of a lost for words and Wiggle a Jiglet, one of the great harness races of all times. We talk about the return of driver Dave Miller to the Buckeye State. Talk about a lot of different topics in a two-part interview with Brian Brown that you're not going to want to miss. But before we get into our first time out and into that interview, big breaking news over the last week or so. Harness horsing superstar Lou Print, winner of this past season's Little Brown Jug, a retired standing stud. Where? Right here in the Buckeye State of Ohio next year. That's right. Let's check out the press release from Diamond Creek. Luprint off to Ohio to begin his stallion career. Champion pacing colt Luprint has officially been retired from racing and will begin his stud career in Ohio for the 2026 breeding season. He will stand at Winterwood Farms under the management of Diamond Creek Farm. Then it lists some of the outstanding accomplishments of one of the great, great three-year-olds, of course, who had to be retired with a rib injury. But nonetheless, we are looking forward to his breeding right here in the state of Ohio, looking forward to some of his offsprings. I'll tell you, one of the great three-year-olds, one of the most talented three-year-olds that I've seen in my harness racing career. So excited about Lou Print standing right here in the state of Ohio. Also excited for the two-part interview we got with trainer Brian Brown. That is on the other side of this timeout. You've got Off to the Races on 96.7 FM WDLR at AM 1270.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
All right, we are back at my 96.7 FM WTLR AM 1270. You've got Off to the Races. We're joined now by a very special guest, trainer Brian Brown. Brian, you recently picked up your 2000th win last week at Hollywood Dayton. I know you're a team guy and believe strongly in the people around you. So I'll phrase you the question like this. What does it mean for the team to pick up the 2000th win?
Well, I was saying this goes clear back to the 90s when it was just me and my wife and struggling along and things finally started getting rolling early 90s for us. And then we started picking up help, but I had a lot of family, my kids, my brothers, sister-in-law, brother-in-laws, nieces, nephews, both of my kids, then we got rolling and we got more help. When I have a milestone, and I would think most people do, when you reach that milestone, the first thing you do is you think back to all those people and all the horses that got you through the tough times and got you into the better times when things were starting to roll along. So You go back and you think of all those people, the owners, the help, the blacksmiths, the vets, the trainers, all of those people, the grooms and everything that just helped you along the way.
Yeah, it's funny because everybody certainly had a part of each and every one of those 2000 wins and you brought up a good point. It does make you kind of reflect and look back now, according to the U.S. Trotting article, you got your first training win back in the late 1980s. Now, do you remember that win?
Honestly, I don't. I don't remember the horse. Some of the wins that were probably back, I worked for my dad and uncle, 5 years or so when I got out of school before I actually went on my own. And, sometimes I was listed on some of their horses as the trainer. And, those probably weren't necessarily my wins, but I would have been listed if they would have kept records and everything. So one of my early wins, one of my favorite horses, me and my wife, we actually named our son after him. His middle name is Matthew. We had a horse named Newsmaker Matt, and he was the one that when it was just me and my wife and we only had about 10 horses, he was the one that got us going and started leading to a little bit better horses, even though they were county fair horses. They just kept getting a little better all the time, but he was the one that really kind of got us started.
Visiting with trainer Brian Brown. Now, Brian, you kind of mentioned the early days and you started racing. Is this something that you always knew you wanted to do?
This was it. From the time I was a little kid, I used to beat my dad to the mailbox on Saturday mornings to get the Horseman and Fair World. And if he would beat me to it, I'd get up beside him on the couch. And as he's reading through, all I'm doing is reading headlines and looking at the pictures. But couldn't wait. And I'm talking 5, 6 years old when I was doing this. Probably in the early teens, anywhere maybe even from 12 to 14. I probably got to where, being a kid, didn't really care as much anymore. But once I was like 15 and they started letting me jog and train then there was nothing else. I've had one job other than training horses, and that was working at a broodmare farm. I was only there 2 weeks and that was way too slow for me. And as trucks and trailers were leaving to go to the races from the fairground we were at, and I'm stuck at that farm, I just couldn't take it no more. And I had to give it up and go back to the training.
Now, Brian, you mentioned, kind of converting from a small stable, and then, of course, over time, translating into a bigger stable with some, some world champions and some serious Grand Circuit contenders. Two-part question. How many head of horses do you have now, and what kind of adjustments have you had to make throughout the years in the differences of managing a small stable going to, 60, 70, 80 heads of horses?
Well, you know, I got to give my wife credit. She's done most of the managing. I just do the training, the vet, the blacksmith, dealing with the owners. She does pretty much everything else. So that's more of a question for her. But, as you're growing, it's kind of a struggle to manage everything. Even when you go from 10 to 20 horses to 30, and then next thing you got 50 and 60. We were at 113 one year, and it was a mistake. I should have never done that. It was too much to manage for both of us, and things get away from you. Just the training and everything, you can't set behind them all, so you have to rely on other people. And luckily, I've had some really good people through the years that have went off on their own and have done good. And, I've had guys that stuck with me for a long time and helped us get through all that. So, we're back down. We're probably going to be close to 40 this winter. And, from going from 60 to 80, the 40 is kind of a breeze to manage now. It's not near as hard as doing all those horses.
Visiting with trainer Brian Brown. Now, Brian, listen, the advent of technology and AI, and it seems like if you have an electronic device around you, no matter what you say, all of a sudden you start seeing Facebook ads about what you talk about. And my question is leading back to the 2015 Little Brown Jug, that great race between Wiggle It, Jiggle It, and Lost for Words. And, of course, you were on the losing end of that one. But I was reading an article in an interview that you did where you said it, no matter what I turn on the computer, it seems like that race always tends to pop up.
For a long time, if I was on anything kind of videos, this was back before whatever you call them, reels on Facebook, mm-hmm. and TikTok. Every time I was on YouTube, that race would come up. And, I watched it every time, and it got better as time went on. And I would notice things, as I seen it more and more. The first thing you realize is, when they went, they're behind the gate and they're coming down the stretch to start. You cannot believe the roar of the crowd. And then again at the half, they go by the grandstand. The crowd is roaring again. And coming down the stretch, it was unbelievable when you look back at it and listen to it and pick up on these things, that how much the crowd was into that race. And, I've probably told you, and I've told other interviews, after that race, I was so disappointed. I was probably sulking for 3 days because, I got beat. I got beat in nose, and I thought, sure, I was a winner at the head of the stretch. And, maybe even a little disappointed in the horse that he didn't make it all the way home. And then, by the time I got to Lexington that later the next week, it dawns on you. You were in one of the greatest races ever, that they raced hard the whole time. And them two horses went at it halfway up the backstretch going to the quarter. And it was just a great race. Like I said, the crowd was into it. Everybody in the paddock, whether they had a horse in the race or not, were all, hollering, rooting for one of us down the stretch. And it was just when you finally get over the loss, it's looking back on it and remembering all the stuff that actually went on and how cool that race really was.
As an interviewer, there are sometimes questions that you don't want to ask. And I know Brian's living that race through and through in his mind time and time again. But as he said, you know, when you back up and you realize that, hey, I was one of the big parts in one of the greatest moments in harness racing history, even though it was a loss, it was still a magical moment. And hats off to the greatest harness race that I've ever seen, that 2015 Little Brown Jogeth Wiggle It Jiggle It and Lost for Words. We hear more from Brian Brown after this.
It's known as the Great American Harness Race, the Little Brown Jug, and it's held right here in Delaware, Ohio. Why? Because Ohio is the heartland of harness racing. In Ohio, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association keeps things running smoothly and is here to make sure that harness racing remains strong. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Join us and keep Ohio as the driving force of harness racing. Call 800-353-6442, the OHHA.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse-safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio, on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
You know, every time somebody likes to bring, and believe me, harness racing's got a lot of problems, as does every other sport, but you know, it seems like that race right there, that magical little less than 2 minutes, just brings your optimism back up for the sport. It was certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, races in harness racing history of all time. Dave Miller, you know, the driver, of course, in that race, are Lost for Words, and he's done a lot of driving for a lot of the great horses that you've had throughout your career. He's making his way back to the Buckeye State after several years here out east, and I know you got a relationship with Dave, and that certainly got to mean a lot to you for him to head back, to be able to head back home.
It is. I mean, I talked to him just last week on the phone. It wasn't even about horses and everything. It was about us, our help, him moving back. You know, he's not just a driver for me. He's not just a friend. He was actually family at one time. He was married to my cousin, and he's never not been family since. We're still consider him family today. But, you know, he's one of those guys that left Ohio and hit it big. And it was all on pure talent. You know, he could just do something with horses that the majority of the people couldn't do, more of drivers. But he was one of those guys back in that day when we were, you know, we're the same age. But it's cool to have somebody you know that was actually in your family that went out and made it big. It gives you the confidence that, you know, I'm a trainer, I'm surely not a driver, but it gives you the confidence that you can go do the same thing. And he was my first guy that when I started getting better horses and going east or in bigger races, wherever they were, he was always my first choice. He's been my favorite driver 30 years or more. So it was really cool to have a guy that you're that close with to be associated with the majority of my success.
Visiting with trainer Brian Brown. Brian, a couple more questions before we let you go. And I guess Dave Miller moving back to the state of Ohio really is happening because of the health of the sport here in Ohio. And of course, the infusion of expanded gaming and slot revenues has really helped here so far in Ohio. And it's really good to see, you know, here, you know, I mean, you, for example, you're a Delaware guy. You were there when things were tough and you kind of saw it through, and a lot of you guys saw it through. And you know, to get this expanded gaming really makes for a healthy situation in the state of Ohio.
It is. It's been good for all of us Ohioans. You know, there's people that had raced claimers and cheaper horses for all those years and struggled through it. Now they can race. You know, we don't have cheaper claimers. We have whatever. I don't even know. I'm not in a claiming game. So I would expect we have six claimers. But those aren't easy races. Those are still tough races, and it's all because of the money we go to. You have the money and the opportunity to make a living at this and make a good living. And whenever you do that, of course, it brings in, you know, better horses, better breeding, the trainers, everything, the drivers, everything gets tougher, you know, and you either got to get better or you're going to get pushed aside. But the point is, the opportunity is there for all of us Ohioans, and it's been very good for all of us.
Brian, I do want to ask you about Down by the Seaside, one of my personal favorite horses. I had a chance to call a couple of his races here in Pennsylvania Sire Stakes at Harrah's Philadelphia, and of course, obviously watched him race in the Grand Circuit. And of course, he has gone on to be now one of the great sires here in the state of Ohio. Talk about what Down by the Seaside meant to your career.
Well, let's get back just a few more, and I'll make it quick. My career really took off when I sent won the West to Ronnie Burke, and that horse really changed our lives. He made enough money that the owners could start buying better horses, and it just led from one horse to the other, you know, Lost for Words coming along, and then Down by the Seaside came around, and you know, I was lucky enough to be the one that trained the horse. We kept him. I sent one to West to Ronnie Burke because it was January 1st, and I didn't want to ship clear to the Meadows 3 hours and 40 minutes to race one horse through the winter in them hills. And he was doing too good, so I just left him with Ronnie. But then along comes Seaside and Fear of the Dragon and Blazing Britches. But, yes, Down by the Seaside was my favorite horse, too. I look back at him. I wish we could have raced him as a four-year-old. I know it probably in the end, going to stud and doing what he did, he got to go to Australia, and he made a lot of money going there. He's made a lot of money for the owners and the shareholders. So the decision they made certainly wasn't wrong. But I really think that horse won in 48 and 2 or 3 mm-hmm. in November at Dover. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he could have paced in 46 as a four-year-old. He could have probably been one of the fastest horses ever. But again, what he has done in the breeding shed, he's won the Brown Jug. He's won Breeders' Crown. He's won several major races. He dominates Ohio. This couldn't be better for me. The only drawback is he's gotten so good, I can't afford the nicest babies that he has. You know, people from out east, all different states are coming to Ohio to buy his horses. And it's all because of who he is. He's the one that did this and made these babies. And, of course, you know, they come from good mares and everything, but his first couple crops wasn't like they were loaded with great mares, and he still produced good horses. So to watch his career and what he's doing, it's extra special to be associated with him.
Brian, I know it's November of 2025, and we're coming up on Thanksgiving and the holiday season, but I guess it's never really too early to look ahead to 2026. Can you give us a sneak preview of what we can expect from Brian Brown and the Brian Brown Stables next year?
Well, again, we don't have as many as we used to, so we cut the opportunities down. But I have a couple three-year-olds that are coming back that we're really looking forward to racing. And I just got back from Harrisburg and bought a couple Sweet Lou's and a Pappy Rob Hanover that, when, you know, there's times when you go to sale and you leave, you buy 6 to 10 horses and you come away and you're thinking, I don't know if I bought that one really nice horse that could get you to the next level, play with the top Grand Circuit horses. When I left this sale yesterday, I was very happy with the three horses we bought out there. We bought 6 in Lexington. You know, I'm associated with Diamond Creek, so you always look forward to the horses they send you because they're always great bred horses. So we have a lot to look forward to. You know, this year we did well, but we didn't do great in the stake races. But we still had a decent enough year that we're thankful that, you know, it worked out the way it did, and we're still in the game.
Brian, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. Best of luck the rest of this season. Best of luck in 2026. And we'll certainly catch up with you in the spring, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it. I will say one more thing about the 2000th win. When my son-in-law, Cam, drove that horse, and it just hits different when it's one of your kids that's winning with your horses, whether it's the 2000th win or just a regular race. When it's, I have a son and a son-in-law that's driving now, and when they win with your horses, it just means a little more. And to have your kid win your 2000th race just makes everything that much better.
Special thanks to Brian Brown for that two-part interview, and once again, congratulations to the team. I knew Brian Brown was a team guy. I've interviewed him many times, and he's all about the team. He's not about himself. One of the most selfless people in this business that I have ever met. So hats off to the team. Career win number 2004, Team Brown. Well, this edition of Off to the Races was brought to you by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got Carrington to a Science and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and Drive-Thru Feed Store. Visit them online at Cashmans.com. See you next Saturday.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at Cashman's.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650. 3650.